Well, please turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. Tonight we shall be looking at James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. Hear the word of the Lord. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is God's word. Let us come before the Lord once again in prayer. Our loving Father, as we come now to a time of opening your word, we would ask that you would illuminate it via your Holy Spirit, that we would read with understanding, that our ears would hear what the Spirit would say to us, and may we be strengthened and encouraged in the truth. Lord, may you use your word tonight to provoke us to good works. May you use your word to conform us into the image of our Lord and Saviour. Lord, may your word go forth tonight and not to return unto you void, but may it accomplish all that you will it to. Lord, we pray you'll do all these things for Jesus' holy name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
If I was to have a guess and assume that everyone here is like most normal people, I would say that in your lifetime there has been times when you've been in a situation that's been so tough or so hard that you just want to throw your hands up and say, I don't know what to do anymore. A situation where you just can't face it anymore. Trials, suffering, pain. And in the midst of all that, you just sit there going, what do I do? How do I handle this? How do I respond? Personally, I can say I found myself in that situation numerous times. Something would happen, I wouldn't know how to respond to it. Whenever I tried to fix the problem, it would seem to get worse. And it would seem that no matter what I did, nothing would resolve this issue. So I just have to sit there and say, I just want to give up. Had enough. I don't know what to do. And when we come across those situations, which sadly are part and parcel of the human life, when we come across these situations, what we need is not a sense of I don't know what to do or a sense of I give up, but rather we need wisdom. When we face hardships, when we face trial, what we need is guidance from God. We need wisdom that comes only from Him. And as we approach the scripture this evening, we would find that our brethren from 2,000 years ago, our Jewish Christian friends in the book of James, would be able to sympathize with us as they also went through similar situations. The people in James's day had the issue of wanting to give up as well. They had the issue of just going, I don't know what to do. They faced hardships. Now, it's true, the hardships that they faced were a lot more intense than the hardships that any of us would face. Yet in the midst of the trials and suffering that the churches back then faced, James writes to them and says, even though you are suffering, even though you may want to give up, seek wisdom. Look to the Lord for answers. You see, James understands the feeling of wanting to give up because he too was a man who faced trials. He too was a man that faced sufferings. He's not writing in this section of God's word as some kind of armchair general. It's not theory to him, but it's practice. He had been through hardship. He had faced things that we wouldn't even be able to comprehend. James faced hardship, yet he was a man who sought after wisdom. And that's the advice he gives the church. James, the wise pastor, says to those who just want to give up, he says to those who are facing trials, he says to those who are in hardship, seek wisdom. And then he says, if you're in need of wisdom, here's what you need to do. In the middle of this church, running for their lives, wanting to surrender, James says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that there is a solution. There is guidance. There is wisdom to be had. Wisdom that comes from God and wisdom that enables them to press on for what to do, what God had called them to do. And I want you to note verse 5 here, James' command to seek wisdom. Look again at God's word. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James begins here in the midst of dealing with the issues of trials and suffering to say, if you are in need of wisdom, ask for it. It seems so simple when you think about it. If you need wisdom, ask for wisdom. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Stop trying to force your way through the trials. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You see, this is not just a command in Scripture given to the Jews, but it's a command in Scripture given to us. We are the people who should come to this verse and go, in my situation, in my life, when I face hardships, I need to be reading this going, right, I lack wisdom, I'm going to ask God what I should do. You see, this is not a command that's just reserved for those people who are unwise, and us wise people today don't need it. No, we are the unwise ones. We will face situations time and time again where we won't know what to do. I'm sure you can probably think of situations in your life where you've just sat there and gone, I don't know what to do. And you will face situations like that again. Let's not sugarcoat it. That's what's going to happen. You will face hardship. And in that time, you need wisdom from God. You see, I need wisdom. In fact, I think the prayer of wisdom here is something I need to be praying daily and in some cases hourly. I should be constantly praying, Lord, give me wisdom. All of us should be praying that prayer. All of us should live in a state of going, Lord, I need you to guide me. Lord, I need you to give me understanding. For none of us are perfect and none of us will be able to have the best answer for every situation. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But what exactly is wisdom? Now, I could stand here and say for the next 20 minutes over and over again, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And it would be a perfectly true and biblical statement. But what exactly is wisdom? What is it that we are to seek? What is wisdom? Some people have defined wisdom as being nothing more than knowledge. Nothing more than being smart and having the right answers. I don't believe that's the biblical definition of wisdom. I don't think just being knowledgeable is what the Bible describes as wisdom. In fact, the Bible says that you may have knowledge, you may even have worldly wisdom, but in reality you are unwise. You can be smart, you could be a genius, but you could still be a fool at the same time. You could still be lacking wisdom. For instance, Richard Dawkins, who's one of the leading atheists in the world today, is a very knowledgeable man. He is very smart. He can pronounce words I can't. He has written books that I just have to sit there and go, I don't even know what you're talking about. He is a smart and knowledgeable man, yet he isn't wise. The Bible actually says he's a fool. Why? Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Atheism is a sign of a man who doesn't have wisdom. So it doesn't matter how smart he is, it doesn't matter how intelligent he is, he's not wise. Albert Einstein, another very smart man. We still use that term. Oh, that person's an Einstein. It's become synonymous with being intelligent. Yet Albert Einstein denied the God of the Bible. He didn't believe the God of the Scriptures. Therefore, he was a smart fool. He was an intelligent man, yet not wise. So if being smart and having knowledge is not wisdom, what exactly is it? Well, the best definition I could find of wisdom biblically is this. Listen carefully to a theological definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the understanding needed for living. Biblical wisdom flows from God and it teaches us how to live and how to face the trials of life. Biblical wisdom is grounded in the fear of the Lord. It is a reverence for him and not a doubting of him. It is found only in Jesus Christ. That's a great definition of wisdom. Listen again. Let's hear that definition again. Wisdom is the understanding needed for living. Biblical wisdom flows from God, and it teaches us how to live and how to face the trials of life. Biblical wisdom is grounded in the fear of the Lord. It is a reverence for Him and not a doubting of Him. It is found only in Jesus Christ. When James says, seek wisdom, that's what we need. A wisdom that begins with God. A wisdom that flows from God, who alone is wise. Wisdom must flow from God, for He is the only wise one. Without God, there will never be wisdom. Without God, we can't be wise. If you want to be wise, if you want to be a person that's known as a wise man or a wise woman, then you need to start with a focus on God. In fact, in Proverbs it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The psalmist also picks up on that theme. The fear of the Lord is the starting point, is the genesis of wisdom. If we don't start with God, we can't have wisdom. And that's what James wants his readers to be focusing on here. James here is actually painting a picture to tell his readers not to be focusing on the trials and the problems that they are facing. But in the midst of trials and hardship, he says, seek wisdom. Or in other words, when you need wisdom, you need to be seeking the source of wisdom. You need to be seeking the Lord Himself. If you cannot have wisdom apart from God, when James says, seek wisdom, he's in effect saying, seek the Lord. When trials come, when hardships come, when suffering comes, when we get to the situation where we don't know what to do, seek wisdom. But to get wisdom, we must seek the giver. We must seek God, who alone is wise. You see, the Jewish Christians to whom James is writing knew their Old Testament well. And if you want a book on wisdom, read the book of Proverbs. And they would have known the book of Proverbs. They grew up memorizing the book of Proverbs. So when James comes along to them and says, my Jewish Christian brothers, seek wisdom, they would have started to filter that statement through the Proverbs. They would have learnt that all wisdom comes from God. They would have understood that they must fear the Lord to get that wisdom. They would understand that James is drawing their eyes away from suffering and drawing their eyes heavenward, saying focus on Jesus. So the early church gets this sort of thing because the early church loved the Old Testament. Sadly today, many in the modern church forget that we have a first half of our Bible. But the Old Testament, time and time again, is full of wisdom literature. Wisdom that tells us how to know God and what God gives us. In fact, it's greatly illustrated in the book of Job. In Job chapter 28, you see Job arguing with himself, in effect. Job, in Job 28 verse 12, asks the question, he says, but where can wisdom be found? It's a great question. Where can wisdom be found? And for the rest of the chapter, if you get a chance, read through it, you'll find Job argues with himself. Is wisdom found here? No. Is wisdom found there? No. Is wisdom found in doing this? No. And after arguing for a few verses, Job finally stops and says, wisdom is only found in God. And that's what James wants us to get. If you lack wisdom, ask God, because He is the giver of wisdom, because He is the source of wisdom. There is no wisdom apart from God. Seek the Lord. Look to Jesus, for He is the one who gives us the guidance and wisdom in the midst of trials. Seek wisdom, seek Jesus, for it flows all from Him. And James says that if we come to the Lord asking for wisdom, if we are in need and we come to the Lord praying in faith, asking for wisdom, he says that God will hear our prayer and He will answer. And He'll give us wisdom liberally and without reproach. Or as another translation puts it, He will give us wisdom generously. God is a generous giver. God hears our prayers and answers our prayers exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's what James says of God. You need wisdom? Go to the source of wisdom. He'll hear you. He'll answer you. And He will give you wisdom in abundance. He'll give you the wisdom for the situation. He'll give you wisdom as needed. He is the source of wisdom. Now this statement here tells us something about our God. God is the source of wisdom, but it also tells us that our God hears our prayers. Notice James says, ask God and he will give. It reveals to us that our God is actually a God that is not distant and far, but he is a God who is near and close to every one of us, a God who inclines his ear to us to hear our cries, to hear our requests of him. It tells us that when we are in the trials, when we are in our situation, when we don't know what to do, when we're in desperate need of wisdom, God is right there if we would call out to him and ask him for assistance. It tells us that our God will not abandon us in the midst of trials. It tells us that our God loves us and he cares for us. It tells us that he is right near. If we would ask, he would answer. We are to pray in faith, asking our great God, who is the ruler of all eternity, for wisdom and for guidance. And that great, all-powerful God is the God who hears and answers. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Wisdom is good. It is needed. And our loving Father will give it to us. In fact, James goes on to say further down in chapter 1 that every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. This good gift comes from our loving God. He hears our request for wisdom and he responds. This should give us comfort in the midst of hardship. Not only does God give us wisdom, he is right there with us. He has not abandoned us. No matter what situation you are currently in or what situation you will face in the future, the promise of Scripture is that the Lord is right near, waiting for your prayer, waiting for you to call upon him. That should fill us with great comfort. He is just there. That no matter where we are or what situation we're in, if we would ask him for wisdom, if we would come to him in prayer, he'll hear and he'll answer liberally. He'll answer with generosity. Our God is a loving God. He cares for his people. He cares for our need. And in love, he answers us. The scripture says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We are to cast our need of wisdom upon the Lord. And because he cares of us, because he cares for you and I, he'll answer and give us wisdom liberally. He'll give us wisdom in abundance. But how exactly does God answer? God says he will answer, but how does he do this? Well, sometimes God will answer us by giving us the knowledge that we need to face a certain trial. Perhaps God will give us a leading through the Holy Spirit to guide us to what we should do or how to handle a certain situation. But the most common way for God to give us wisdom is found when we open up the Scripture. The most common way for us to get wisdom is when we open up the Bible and we read God's Word. And we find what God would say and what God would do. Our prayer for wisdom, our request for wisdom, is often answered when the Lord leads us into the green pastures of his word. And I can't tell you how many times I've prayed to God asking for guidance and wisdom, then sat down, opened my Bible and read something that almost seems like it was written specifically to me. And you know full well it wasn't. It's thousands of years old, but it's almost like it's fresh and just jumped off the page. And it's from that you know what you should do. You know how to handle the situation. You've got the strength to continue. God gives wisdom. And I'd argue that he does so through his word. So if you're in need of wisdom, pray and ask God. And hopefully he'll lead you into the green pastures. But either way, if you pray in faith, God will give wisdom. God will answer your prayers. But notice that James then goes on to give us a warning. James says that we should pray and ask God for wisdom. But then he says there is a certain prayer that God will answer. And there's a certain prayer that God won't answer. He says there's two types of prayers in verse 6 to 8. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The prayer that God answers is the prayer of faith. You see, when we come to the Lord in prayer, when we come to him requesting wisdom, or when we come to him indeed with any request, we must come to him with believing prayers. We must approach him with an expectant heart that he is going to answer, that he can answer, and that he will answer. James says, but let him ask in faith. In other words, let him ask with complete trust and reliance upon God. Without doubt, 100% trust, faith in the Lord. You see, when we pray, be it for wisdom or even in our prayer meetings, we must come before the Lord with the belief that he will hear us and he will answer. Now, he may not answer in the way that we want him to answer. Let's make that clear. But he will answer in his way, in his timing, and in a way that is most glorifying to his name. But we come with expectant hearts. We come with faith. Faith that he will answer. Faith that he will hear. Faith that he will do what is right. And that's how we should pray. Expectant prayers. Expectant hearts. Believing prayers. But the problem is oftentimes our prayers aren't that way. Oftentimes our prayers to God are filled with doubt, filled with questions. You know, perhaps we sit in a prayer meeting or perhaps we pray in our quiet times and we're making our requests and petitions known to the Lord, but in the back of our mind is a little voice saying, God won't answer this. The voice of doubt. The voice that says, you know, I'll pray, but I really doubt God is going to do anything. And if we have that doubt in our prayers, that doubt will soon outwork itself in our lives. James says the person who prays with doubt, his life is completely unstable. When we pray with doubt, there are ramifications in our day-to-day life. I think the best way to see this illustrated is to think about it this way. How many times have you been in a tough situation? You don't know what to do. The situation's hard. So you go to the Lord saying, Lord, I need your deliverance. Lord, I need your wisdom. But as soon as you say amen, you immediately try to fix your problem. That's a great illustration of a prayer of doubt. There's no waiting for the Lord. There's no trust that God will answer. There's no belief that he will intervene. Instead, you've prayed without faith. You said amen. And then you go, right, I'm going to fix it. You got yourself in that situation in the first place. I don't think you can fix it. If you're going to the Lord asking for wisdom and guidance on how to get out of this situation or how to handle a situation, the last thing you need to be doing is trying to fix it yourself. But our doubtful prayers often outwork itself in our life. We doubt, and then we try to do things in our own strength. And James says that's not how we are to pray. We are to pray in faith, not doubting. Pray with a trust in the Lord. When we pray with doubt, when we pray and then try to fix it ourselves, in reality, we are just trusting in our own attempts, our own efforts, and our own desires. We trust in what we can do. No, our prayers must be the opposite. Our prayers must be dependence upon God. We must pray in faith, asking for God to intervene. We must pray in faith, asking for wisdom. We must pray in faith and then let Him answer. And let Him have His perfect way. Now, too often we are quick to get in the middle and meddle. We don't have patience. We pray and we want to answer immediately. We offered up that prayer 2 minutes ago. Why isn't the answer here yet? No, we've got to wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. But we don't like to wait. So we doubt God's answers, we meddle, and we make the problem a lot worse. I speak from experience. God, I need you to fix something. I'm going to try and fix it myself. Now the problem's 10 times bigger than it was when I first prayed. We must pray in faith and not pray in doubt. That is how a believer is to approach the Lord. For the Lord says He will hear the prayer of faith and He'll answer it. Jesus in Matthew 21, 21 to 22 said these words. He said, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Notice Jesus connects the answer to prayer with faith, not doubt. Whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, having faith in, having a trust in, who? Trusting in God, you'll receive. God answers the prayer of faith. God delights in answering the prayer of faith. So we should believe Him. We should approach Him with confidence, knowing that His word tells us that He hears, and His word tells us that He will answer. But James says the man who doubts doesn't approach God that way. James says the man that prays with doubt is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The man who prays with doubt is unstable. He's built his hope upon the moving foundation. It will not stand. James says he is like the sea. He is like the waves that are constantly being blown to and fro. There is no solid foundation. Even on the calmest of days, the waves are still moving. The sea is never completely still. The sea has always got the smallest of ripples in it. You can't build upon water. There's no foundation. And James says that's what the unstable man is like. He has no foundation. He is never calm. He is never still. He will always be in turmoil. James says, don't be like him. Pray in faith. Stand upon the promises of God's word. Build upon the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be moved, but rather stand solidly upon the sure foundation. That is how we are to pray. Unmovable. Undoubting. Saying, our Lord hears, our Lord answers, and I'm coming to Him with trust. That's the prayer that God will answer. The man who doubts is not to suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. God doesn't answer doubting prayers. If you pray without faith, do not expect God to answer your prayers. But the person who prays and doubts is actually demonstrating that they don't really believe God. That's what they're illustrating. When they doubt God, they're saying, God, I can't trust you. God, I can't believe what you said. And when you pray with doubt, all you're doing is going through some religious incantations and then go back to try and be the master of your own destiny. Don't expect God to answer that prayer. James says that man is a double-minded man. He's unstable. The literal Greek means he's a man that looks both ways. He doesn't know which way to go. He's always looking two different directions. He has no direction in life. That's how his mind is. But we as believers are to have the mind of Christ. A mind that is fixed on Him. And we must pray with a soul focus on Jesus. A soul trust in our Lord. we lack wisdom, come before the Lord, asking Him to answer. Focus on Him, and He'll answer the prayer of faith. So whatever situation you find yourself in, and whenever you find yourself facing trials, take this advice from James. Seek wisdom by seeking the Lord, and then believe that Lord for answers. Let's close with prayer. Oh, our loving God, I thank You that we can spend time in Your Word, hearing that You are the God who is very near to us, a God who cares for us, a God who has inclined His ear to listen to our cries. Lord, we thank You that You answer and that You will give us wisdom as needed. Lord, help us not to pray in doubt, but help us to have a complete trust in You. Lord, so often that we would pray with doubt and we would question. Forgive us for that and help us to build upon the sure foundation of Jesus. Lord, may we be a people of prayer, a people who pray with expectant hearts, and a people that look to You as the great God who answers prayers for Your own glory's sake. We pray all these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.